So today I'm going to present the results from my master's research looking at the plant biomarkers lignin, chitin, and suberin in carbon-saturated soils. And first, a word about the carbon saturation model. So the carbon saturation model describes the asymptotic response of soil carbon to increased carbon inputs. And it's important to note that this is a response of carbon, of soil carbon in equilibrium with its conditions. So it's not a time response across changing conditions, but it's a response of different soils in equilibrium with their carbon inputs. And the Cmax asymptotic limit describes a theoretical maximum of soil carbon that can be sequestered in a soil. And so the farther you are from Cmax, the greater the saturation deficit and the greater the stabilization potential of new carbon. The closer you are to Cmax, the lower the saturation deficit and the lower the hypothesized stabilization potential of new carbon. So despite the fact that recent field studies and meta-analysis have confirmed that soils respond, especially at high carbon inputs, soils' behavior fits with the CSOP model. Most biogeochemical models still use the linear model to describe soil dynamics. And so one of these field studies performed by Gould et al. Looked at a long-term agroecosystem experiment in Lethbridge, Alberta, in which long-term manure applications were applied from 0 to 3 times the recommended application rate in Alberta Mollisol. And what she found was a clear response of the bulk soil organic carbon content to increased manure C additions. And this experiment, because it's directly measuring manure C input across treatments, provided kind of an ideal setup to test the carbon saturation response. So we wanted to further explore this site and the saturation gradient established here to specifically address some of the processes involved in carbon saturation, specifically looking at changes in biochemical composition. And so when looking at biochemical composition and changes across carbon saturation, we wanted to address whether there was any, whether we could observe any preferential stabilization or preservation of plants, materials, or of any biomolecules with saturation, and in doing so address whether quality interacts with quantity in the C saturation response. So as I said, we used the soils collected by Gould et al. And fractionated by them, and they used a fractionation scheme based on that of Six et al. 2002, using a combination of density and physical fractionations to isolate silt and clay fractions, which we use to represent the chemically or mineral protected soil organic matter, the physically protected fractions in the micro within macro intra-aggregate particulate organic matter, so the organic matter that's within the small aggregates, and the coarse particulate organic matter fraction, which represents no protection in these soil carbon pools. And so for these fractions, we perform cupric oxide oxidation to depolymerize the lignin, chitin, and suberins. And then we quantified the resulting lignin-derived phenols, which I'll refer to as VSC, and chitin and suberin-derived substituted fatty acids, which I'll refer to as SFA, using GCMS. And we did this across the fractionated pools because we wanted to get a better specific idea of how saturation specifically interacts with protection mechanisms in a carbon-saturated soil. So just briefly to remind everyone, lignin, dominantly an aromatic compound, and chitin and suberin, dominantly composed of aliphatic regions. So they're both plant-derived biomarkers, but they still have differing chemistries. So overall, our overall hypothesis were that the soil carbon saturation response is driven by the chemical and physical properties and processes in a soil, and that these processes are biomolecule specific. So in general, we felt that with saturation, we'd have a decreased stabilization of microbial C in the non-protected pool, and an increased stabilization of microbial C in the protected stabilized carbon fractions. So because of this, we thought that the VSC and SFA contents in the stabilized chemical and physical fractions would actually decrease with saturation or with the decreasing stabilization potential of the soil. and that the VSC and SFA components of the organic carbon would actually increase in the non-protected soil fractions as you have increasing inputs coupled with diminished stabilization in the protected fractions. And some of the rationale for our hypothesis rested on 13C NMR studies, which found greater contributions of aliphatic and protonaceous compounds in deference to aromatic compounds. Some hypofluorite dissolution studies, which found that lignin was not a large contributor to resistant organic matter fractions. And the hypothesized greater sorption of amphiphilic compounds and microbial derived compounds in the mineral contact zones. So what did we find? So here I have the results across treatments by fraction weight. So the top row looks at the soil organic carbon that Gould et al. Studied. The middle row is the lignin on a fraction weight basis, and the bottom row is the chutin and suberin on a fraction weight basis. And you can see that the trends in the chutin and suberin pretty much follow the trends in the soil organic carbon. We would expect this covariation because lignin, chutin, and suberin are components of soil organic carbon. You can also see that the IPOM and the silt and clay fractions do saturate with increased C inputs, and that we also see this saturation in the lignin and the chutin and suberin. But the question we want to know is whether the saturation occurs faster or slower for the lignin, chutin, and suberin than for the total SOC. We do see that the carbon normalized signatures of the lignin, chutin, and suberin increase across treatments. But we had a small problem in using these signatures to look at preferential stabilization. And this is because we had this nonlinear mixing of inputs. So you can see our manure as represented by the shovels, and our plant drive input as represented by the wheat, changed at different rates, and they have different biochemical signatures. So just from input alone, we would have an increase in the biochemical signature of input to the soil. So we used a couple different methods to get around this problem. What we decided to do was use the bulk soil to actually approximate the inputs. I won't go into this too much, but it's based on a proof by Stewart et al. Where she used the bulk soil C composition to approximate C input when looking at carbon saturation. And on the left, you can see that this is based on the fact that you have exponentially increasing fractions and asymptotically increasing fractions within the bulk soil, summing to the bulk soil. So using these inputs, we were able to use a mixed effects ANOVA to look at the saturation-specific response of the fractions. So we know that manure input rate resulted in higher biochemical input, or lignin, chutin, and suberin input to the soil. So we expected those lines at high manure input rate at the to be higher than those at low manure input rate when looking at the change from bulk soil to soil fraction. But if there's not a saturation response, we'd expect those lines to be, the slopes of those lines to be constant and for there to be no interaction. With a saturation specific response, on the other hand, we'd expect to see a significant interaction in the distribution from the inputs to each fraction. And so when we did this, we actually found that, contrary to our hypothesis, there was a preferential depletion of lignin when it wasn't protected, as shown by the significant interaction in the coarse palm fraction, and that there was no actual preferential stabilization of lignin in the silt and clay chemically protected fractions, as shown by the constant slopes from the bulk soil to each fraction. In the IPOM, we actually did find also preferential depletion of lignin, which we did hypothesize, but it seems to be more driven by the coarse palm fraction than it does by the silt and clay fraction. And the chutin and suberin, we basically see the same trends. We had very low quantitative contributions of chutin and suberin to these pools in comparison to the lignin, so and we had some high standard errors, so we didn't get any significant results, but we see similar trends, especially in depletion in the coarse palm fraction. So to summarize, with C saturation, increasing C saturation level, decreasing stabilization potential, we see that plant-derived lignin, chutin, and suberin are actually preferentially decomposed in the non-protected and physically protected fractions. And this is contrary to our initial hypotheses, where we thought that the increased input and decreased stabilization would result in their accumulation in the coarse palm fraction, and that sea saturation does not affect the chemical stabilization of these biomolecules in the silt and clay fraction. And this is, again, contrary to what we thought. We thought we would see an amplification of preferential microbial stabilization with sea saturation. But again, we don't see this. So to summarize, from this we conclude that lignin, chitin, and suberin are not preserved by inherent recalcitrance, seen by their depletion when they're not protected, and that lignin, chitin, and suberin stabilization doesn't change with sea saturation level, despite the fact that we have a decreasing stabilization potential. We don't see a difference between plant-derived and microbial sea. We don't see that microbial sea is preferentially preserved in the chemical fraction, although it might accumulate faster in the non-protected fraction. And this leads us to infer that it's only quantity, it's not the quality of the soil organic carbon that affects sea saturation. And thanks to everyone and to my funding, and do we have time for questions?
Thank you very much. There is time for questions. Yes, please.
Okay, the question was, are the soils from the surface or subsurface? 0 to 15 centimeters. Although, yeah. Okay, thank you very much.